This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Teresa Brewer for you. You old timers might remember her, the Nickelodeon song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so much for joining us on this Friday, January the 7th. Lots going on. In a few minutes, Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center is going to be here. We're going to talk about federal intervention in the meat industry to combat rising prices. You've heard Biden talk about it, if you've been listening to him recently. Alden thinks that the whole concept of antitrust in the meat industry through the Biden administration is ripe for failure. So stay tuned for that. And Donald Trump swings back at Joe Biden after Biden's January 6th Capitol riot speech yesterday. We're going to tell you what was said, along with commentary on this and other things, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that, please. And a former producer for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is warning Americans of the radical political agenda. It's over in up in Canada right now, she says, and it's being pushed here in the U.S. Stay tuned for that as well. And we have a very good and interesting Ultimate Top 10. The top 10 careers with the highest suicide rates. The highest suicide rates. You think you know what they are. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is the best place for men to get a haircut that I have ever found. It is located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. On Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Well, the latest economic or jobs report is out. What do you think? What do you think? Think it was good or bad? U.S. job growth in December, just as the rapid spread of the new Omicron coronavirus was running around, only 199,000 jobs, where economists were expecting 400,000 new workers. That's less than half. The Labor Department said these figures in its monthly payroll. It was released this morning, its payroll report. That's kind of embarrassing. You want 400,000 and you end up with 199,000? Now, the unemployment rate was pretty good. It dropped down to 3.9% from 4.2%. So bet your bottom dollar, when Biden gets up in front of the cameras to talk about jobs and the economy, I guarantee you he's going to push the 3.9%. Now, that's the lowest level since the pandemic began for unemployment. But you cannot ignore the disappointing number of new jobs that were created. The labor market has been gaining momentum after the slowdown that started this summer. But these latest figures represent the second consecutive month of a worse than expected growth rate. So, you know, Biden, they're going to say, oh, look at, you know, people are flying back into jobs. No, they're not. A lot of people are now going back the other way again, are they not? because of the Omicron virus? It's kind of scary. In the meantime, the Supreme Court is poised to decide the vaccine mandates. And that's going to be a biggie. They may actually come up with a decision on this relatively quickly, with the Biden administration citing a grave danger to public health caused by unvaccinated Americans. The Supreme Court is fast-tracking a hearing to decide whether the U.S. government can enforce vaccine requirements affecting almost 100 million people, 100 million workers. They will hear separate oral arguments. I think they start around 10 a.m. They're starting now, as a matter of fact, as we speak, I believe. They will hear these oral arguments over federal vaccine and testing rules for larger businesses and vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. Look at all the healthcare workers that have decided all of a sudden that they don't want the shot. Do you remember when the big thing was that, look at the healthcare workers, they have to be protected. They have to be protected and wear the masks and do this and do that. And
not just the masks, remember they wanted the high-end stuff.
Yeah.
And they deserved it.
I think so. It was healthcare workers.
They didn't want the Dr. Fauci special, you know, with the little mask on the front. They wanted the ones that really
were. What do they call them? HVD-19 or something like that. Yeah. The ones that have the double protection.
Right.
Because they say that it's like an aerosol. If you have just a cloth mask, aerosol droplets can penetrate that cloth mask. Yeah, you're right about that. Anyway, look at all of the healthcare workers that have chosen not to want to get the shot. Do they have that right? Do they know something we don't know? Not all of them, but you know what I mean? It's a goodly number.
I'm wondering, is it more the fact that people are skeptical because it's being pushed so hard?
I think that's part of it.
I went and got my booster yesterday, only because I see how rampant this thing is. And whether I agree with it or I don't agree with it, I'm sick and tired of talking about it, I'm going to go get it. And I have no side effects today whatsoever. For something's growing out of my back, but that's okay.
There's a carrot growing on the top of your head.
And I'm walking with a limp and I skip every other word.
and you decided to wear a dress this morning.
And when you turn the microwave on, I pee my pants. But
No, but
there's no side effects at all today. Nothing.
That's wonderful. And I think for 99.9% of people that get this shot, that's the way it's going to be.
But when you got a government all of a sudden that we used to laugh about called USSR that demanded you do things or else, we're doing the same thing.
I think it's good to always have a healthy dose of skepticism about any entity, no matter what. You always have to be a little bit on your guard, you know? Not just open your mind to it and accept whatever they say. And I think you're right. I think the more people push on, you got to go out and get your shot. Look at Biden again. He must have said, get vaccinated about 100 times in a speech the other day. He just kept saying it over and over.
You've got everything from, de Blasio when he was in office before the end of the year. He said, come down, get a booster, get $100 cash.
That's right. They were trying to
everything
entice
from that
people.
What was the state that was toying going door to door? With a shot,
probably a blue state. Yeah, so and like you say, the more that people try to pound it into you, the more you tend to be. Well, why is he? Why are they doing this? So you start to question. Anyway, so the justices are going to hear these oral arguments over federal vaccine testing rules for larger businesses and vaccine mandates for healthcare workers at facilities receiving Medicaid and Medicare funding. In other words, the ones that can be controlled by the government because they are getting government funding. Now, can the government tell them, look, you're getting government funding, therefore you dance to our tune. And our tune is you got to get your shot. So that's what they're going to be looking at. And I think it's going to be a decision that will come relatively quickly. They can't, you'll hear about this in June. No, I don't think so. They're going to have to come up with this now. Anyway, let us do this. Let us take our break And when we return, we're going to have a very interesting discussion with Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center about Biden's antitrust effort to counter high meat prices.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you
hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we're delighted to have Alden Abbott join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. He focuses on trade issues. And we're going to talk a little bit about the government's attempt to try to lower meat prices and claim that these meat companies are involved in an antitrust kind of conspiracy. Alden, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you.
This is so interesting. We've heard talk, and Biden himself was talking about it, that somehow the meat industry is like in cahoots here. To raise prices. Well, I'm thinking, wait a second. Everything's going up. Why are you picking on the meat industry in particular? Your thought on that.
Well there's a history of picking on the meat industry, actually. You go back, in fact, to the Obama administration. 2009-10, there was an investigation of the meat industry by the Agriculture Department and the Antitrust Division. And the Agriculture Department then proposed a rule that would have limited contracts of the big meat processors, prevented them from exclusive contracts with farmers, that sort of stuff. And basically, the American Meat Institute showed that in terms of inefficiency, which translates into higher prices, lower production, that could have raised cost $14 billion with a B. So basically, Congress didn't fund that rule. But there seems to be this history. It goes back to the early 20th century, to the jungle, the idea of meat processors were engaged in nefarious behavior, you know, not degrading quality, poisoning meat.
Sinclair Lewis wasn't Sinclair Lewis, the author of that, yes.
That's right. It's an old story, but very frankly, today, meatpacking is one of the most regulated industries in the country. And they have all sorts of Agriculture Department inspectors. They're all subject to a lot of regulation. So the idea that somehow they become greedy and are suddenly raising prices when in recent years they haven't been, just coincidentally, they're raising prices at the same time as energy prices or going up for them because of bad Biden administration policy and their supply chain delays that hurt their ability to keep their plants in top shape and so forth. So there's really no reason to believe there's a sudden new conspiracy afoot, but it's part of an old history. If you have bad policy, blame someone. So big meat is the target.
Yeah, it seems like, with everything going up, they're kind of picking on the meat industry. And I guess the farmers, you know, everybody is thinking, you know, if you hear, you know, the whole chain of events to get the meat to the grocery store. One thing I noticed several weeks ago, and I have some friends, we get together at a sports bar from time to time, and we were looking on their little chalkboard, and they had raised the price of chicken wings to an amazing degree. And we all went, wow, you know, is that, am I reading this right? Is it about almost a dollar a chicken wing here now, you know? So there was this increase in the price of certain things, like in maybe in poultry. You know, chicken and turkey, we always thought, you know, you got chicken and turkey relatively low on the price as opposed to, a steak or something. But
right.
just from a customer's point of view, they go to the store now, and I know everything is up, but are prices in, let me ask you this, are meat prices up even higher in general than other food prices?
I think that's probably right, and there may be a number of reasons for it. But it's funny you mentioned chicken. I mean, look, if there are actual conspiracies between processors and industrial producers to fix prices, that's illegal. In fact, the Justice Department in the last couple of years has investigated and still investigating price-fixing agreements between competitors in chicken processing. So certainly it's possible that there is price fixing. Price fixing is a criminal offense. It's illegal. And that's what antitrust should be used for. But there are lots of other things going on, I think, in general in meat prices. There's a dramatic increase in the price of fuel and energy, dramatic delays in getting inputs to all sorts of producers, and certainly the meat packers and processing plants. Their ability to get inputs may have been delayed. You get delays of that sort can drive prices up, and particularly if there are shortages, as I say, and delays in the supply chain and demand is going up when people are going out and buying more, that can dramatically drive prices up. So there's no magic answer as to why prices have risen a certain amount. It just go after actual conspiracies, but don't assume that just because a company is big, something bad is happening.
We're talking with Alden Abbott. He is a senior research fellow. He focuses on trade issues at the Mercatus Center. He's also a former Federal Trade Commission general counsel. He knows what he's talking about here. I want to ask you about the government putting their finger on the scale of any industry. I think it works the same way economically, no matter what industry they get involved in. And when they start playing around with, we've got to lower the price of this, like healthcare, or we got to lower the price of, college tuition or college loan, or we got to lower the price of food, and they get involved, it goes the other way. And the costs go up for the customer. It seems to me it's almost inevitable. And this is what I worry about. Your thought on that?
Well, I think that's quite right. You know, attempts to create artificially low prices lead to shortages because of the demand outstrips supply, and shortages inevitably lead to rationing or to higher prices. If you're not going to ration, the prices are going to go up. But prices are very, very sensitive, and it's the market mechanism working. Government is, for example, proposing to subsidize, give $1 billion to small meat processors and say, oh, that'll help solve the problem of high prices. Well, probably it won't. You're subsidizing a number of smaller producers just because they're small, and the fact is there are lots of studies that show the most efficient meat packers and producers are the larger ones. They've gotten efficient. They've gotten large because they're more efficient.
Exactly.
They have economies of scale. So large size often means lower costs. Once you start saying, oh, you're too big and we're going to subsidize your smaller competitors, A, you're wasting taxpayers' money, but B, you're making them more risk averse. They're not going to want to invest as much. They're afraid of government action. And what does that mean? It's going to drive up their costs, and that's going to drive up prices. So often what government does is perverse. But a lot of this is, I think, virtue signaling, trying to find a villain. We can't blame ourselves, so we've got to blame some
exactly right
guys in the private sector.
Yeah. And you hear these things about, well, you know, this company got so big that now they can go around and threaten. You know, they can threaten. If you go to some other company rather than ours, we're going to take away your business, or we'll do this, or we'll do that. It's like, you know, they, in Prohibition days, the guy coming in saying, you buy our booze, not the other guy's booze. You know, and so they're kind of, I don't know, I guess they want to paint big companies with nefarious reasons for getting so big. And you just mentioned they got big because they did it better.
Right.
I don't know what. Here, let me ask you. I this is a personal question more than anything else. I have a couple of cats. I'm going to the food stores these days, and all the cat food is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's food. It's not human food. But as long as you're here, what's going on? Is it because it's imported?
Well, I don't have an answer to that. I haven't been to cat food lately, but it would be that thousands of crates of cat food are stuck in Long Beach Harbor. And yeah. Part of that, too, is over-regulation. You know, local ports have regulations, but also the federal government, because of COVID restrictions, has restricted port handlers and drivers and so on. So if there are fewer people able to pick up merchandise, and you're dealing with imported cat food, that you're going to have shortages and higher prices. I don't know. Having said that, if it's imported cat food, it sounds like maybe it's a big meat and not a big cat food conspiracy.
There you go.
Into.
I wonder if it's the same for dog food. I don't have a dog. I'll have to check that out the next time. Probably the same.
Well, we have a couple of cats, but my wife gets the cat food. I'll have to ask her if
ask her if she's still getting the same brand, you know? So what the heck is going to happen here? I mean, what is the Biden administration going to do, if anything? Are they just going to scream at the wind here about it? Are they going to hold hearings? What do you think will happen?
Well, they held hearings 10 years ago. The Agriculture Department say, oh, prices are too high, or these companies are too big, and the company said, look, we've been growing because we've been reducing costs and all that, and the farmers said, we want higher prices for what we sell. Everyone who sells wants higher prices. But as I say, they passed the rule, but the rule was going to be so costly it wasn't enacted. I think it may just be a lot of sound and fury. What worries me is they're talking about the Agriculture Department passing a new rule against the Packers and Stockyards Act, which is a 100-year-old law, which may have made some sense over 100 years ago, makes no sense now. It has some very vague language about letting rules be passed that to deal with unfair favoritism and so on. So that this might mean, hey, you're a big company and you want a better deal from your suppliers, which may lower your costs. If they call that unfair favoritism, well, you're not going to be able to do that, going to drive up your costs. So there's always a risk when government talks about new regulation. What governors should really be doing is looking at existing regulation and see what regulation needs to be gotten rid of. Like there's a law, the Jones Act, that makes coastal shipping have to go on American ships, and that drives up costs.
Right.
There are also...
It's deregulation is the answer, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. If you deregulate and you allow the free market to work, it doesn't make any difference what the product is. If you deregulate and allow the free market to work, you're going to get a better product at a lower price, and you're going to get more of it, I would think.
That's quite right. And as I say, the joke is, say, oh, these companies are running wild. They're so heavily regulated as it is Indeed, what they should be asking is, how have our regulations unnecessarily raised their costs and reduced supply? That's what governors should be asking instead of creating new villains.
Alden, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much for joining us. I hope we can talk again down the road.
I would enjoy that a great deal. Thank you so much.
All right, sir. Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center. Very interesting. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Donald Trump steps into the batter's box and takes a swing at Joe Biden after Biden's insurrection, capital riot, whatever you want to call it, that speech yesterday. We're going to tell you what was said, along with commentary from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back.
Thank you
so very much for joining us. So, former President Donald Trump couldn't help himself. He had to talk and respond to President Biden's, what do you want to call it, January 6th speech yesterday, and the sharp criticism that Biden, Biden claims he was going to be a healer. I'm going to heal. After Donald Trump, we need healing. Healing! Do you hear me? And what does he do? He blames everybody but himself for all the things that are going on, and especially Donald Trump. Here's what Trump said. Biden used my name today, meaning yesterday, to try to further divide America. This political theater is all just a distraction for the fact Biden has completely and totally failed. He says our country no longer has borders, has totally and completely lost control of COVID itself, is no longer energy independent. Inflation is rampant. Our military is in chaos. And our exit or surrender from Afghanistan was perhaps the most embarrassing day in the long and distinguished history of the United States, and so much more. So he kind of wrapped up just about all the things that Biden is doing or not doing in one little statement there. So, Andrew, did you listen at all to the Biden speech? I'm sure you were taking copious notes.
You know, I wouldn't even waste my time.
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't waste my time, and you know what? What Trump said was right on the money. Couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I listened to you yesterday with the other show there.
Oh, the Voice of Reason. Thank you.
You know, all I heard with them is Trump. Blame Trump. I can't imagine being married to these guys.
I know.
I mean, give me a break.
Well, this is the whole Democratic mantra. What else can they talk about? January 6th and Donald Trump. If they, otherwise, you'd have to focus on what they're not doing.
I mean, I got news for these people. Trump's been gone a year now, right?
Yes.
The blame is Biden. You understand?
Yes, I do.
Guys, it's all on Biden. You know why meat prices are so expensive, Paul? It's called fuel, okay?
Transportation.
When you are processing meat, there's five stages they go through, and every one of them stages, that process is shipped by truck.
Yes.
From plant to plant. So there's your answer why it's so expensive.
That's one of the reasons. And there's also this issue with supply chain, just getting some of these products to market. The less you got, the higher it will be for the things you do got.
That's right. Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
And again,
Biden. Okay, get it straight.
Well, here I thought he was going to be the great healer. He was supposed to be the great healer, remember?
You know, he's the great heel.
Yes.
The great healer.
Yes.
The guy's a moron. The people that follow him, as far as I'm concerned, are morons because there's no talking to them. They make no sense. They make no reason. They have one answer. Trump.
Right. And now even Biden's former advisors are saying, you know, you got to change this whole philosophy and strategy on the virus. Six members of his advisory board that worked with Biden during his transition before taking office now saying that he should take a different approach when it comes to the pandemic than the one he's currently using. Remember, he was going to, he must have said it 40 times when he was running, I will stop this virus.
His advisors must be doing a good job because his advisors advised him what to do. Now they're advising him to change what they advised
him to do. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Okay? In a series of opinion articles in the Journal of the American Medical Association, a whole bunch of his advisors, one of them being that, remember Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel? He's Rahm Emanuel's brother, the doctor.
Oh, God.
And there's a bunch of others here. Hey, they've offered various suggestions, and they say... as the Omicron demonstrates, the virus is here to stay. And basically, they think that he should now admit it. The virus is here to stay and take a different tactic, rather than saying he's going to be the great fixer. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, they didn't let this thing just run its course, Paul.
Do you think we're going to
get the immunity?
Do you think it's going to end up being like the common cold or flu? It'll always be around?
That's what it is, Paul. It's been nothing more than that. It's just a stronger strain, Paul.
Yeah.
It's just like cancer. It's going to be around. Something is going to kill the population. If not Bill Gates, it'll be the flu. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hope Bill Gates wasn't planning on killing the population.
He wants a controlled population. You know that.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, population control. I thought maybe he was coming out with some sort of food product that will poison half the world. Hey, I got another one for you real quickly. And this is depressing. A federal district court judge has granted the Biden administration's request to dismiss a lawsuit in essentially killing any chance of the Keystone XL pipeline's existence. And this is a judge, by the way, apparently a conservative, or appointed by a conservative president, the judge ruled that he could not determine the constitutionality of Biden's action, and therefore is going to leave things the way it is, that Biden can go ahead and that his executive order will stand. Canceled the pipeline's federal permit. And that's kind of depressing, isn't it?
Paul, everything that's going on is depressing.
Yeah.
They're out to destroy the country. Why, I have no idea.
Yeah, you would think he would want more oil pour through the pipeline so that we can reduce transportation costs, so that the products, at least we can lower the product cost because of transportation costs.
You know, Paul, I think they should just give everybody a pair of roller skates in this country. We won't have no more pollution. We won't have no more fat people. You know,
that's true.
I think that's the thing we should have. No more cars, roller skates.
You know, have you ever seen about 10 or 15 people on pogo sticks trying to go in the same direction? It's not very safe, but it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, that's what this country's doing.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, let's face the facts. It's all Biden's fault that is going on right now. There is no more blaming Trump. There are insurrection baloney. That's nothing but a distraction. And it's got one purpose, to try to make sure that Trump can't run for president or hold off.
Yeah.
That's all this is about. They're wasting taxpayers' money. They're wasting taxpayers' time. They're letting the country fall apart while they try to achieve one thing.
I want to ask you.
How smart are these people?
Yeah. On our last show, you brought up a very interesting point about the side effects of the vaccine shot, or at least what you thought might be the side effects of the vaccine shot. And I actually heard from somebody that agreed with that. You were talking about how you've noticed that some people have suffered some hair loss from getting that either the vaccine or the booster. I can't remember
no question
which.
About it. I've got about 8 customers, Paul, including my wife.
Yeah, you had said that. And Ed, you just got a booster shot. He's still got all his hair. Ed, is something like that of concern, do you think, to the average person? Not a barber, but, you know, when they hear something like
that. No, because we hear so many different stories. I mean, there are going to be some people going to react in different ways. Their arm's going to hurt, or they'll feel lethargic the next few days or whatever.
I think this is a scary side effect if it's true. It may affect certain people certain ways. Go ahead, Andrew.
I got one question for you guys. One good question. Ed, give me the answer to this one, will you, please? Every time you have a television commercial on with a new prescription drug, on the bottom you will hear somebody reading 90 miles an hour side effects, right?
Right.
Well, how come we have not seen anything posted about the so-called COVID shot?
Is anybody dying from the shot?
How do I know? How do you know? We don't, do we?
Well, Andrew, you can't keep a secret with 5 people in the room. You think that all of a sudden? No, come on. Seriously, if people were dying because they got the shot, don't you think they? People would know? Or they would,
no, they're going to keep that quiet.
Oh, yeah, my dad died, but I'm not going to tell you how.
But they won't tell you. They could die of COVID. They could die of getting hit by a car and they put COVID.
Well, here was the thing about all of this, and I've always wondered about it. And Andrew, you have to admit, we both said this, that when initially when the virus came out and then all of these numbers came out about people dying, we both said, yeah, but these people were already maybe on the brink of death, or they've already got so many other things that were going on. It was like the straw on top of the camel's back that made him collapse. And I'm thinking that all of these people that have died, if we would go back and look at it, the truth is they had other very serious things going on. And I'm wondering the same thing with the virus shot, that they already were susceptible to something.
Of course. Well, we're never going to know. We are never going to know anything about it. We'll find out in years to come what's going on, but I think they should at least post side effects to this shot.
The reason they won't post them
is because they know people won't get it.
But, Andrew, they may not even know. Here's the thing, which is kind of your point. They don't even know what maybe the side effects might be.
It's too soon. It's never been
right. Tested. We were in a panic. Donald Trump had warp speed. He wanted to get a vaccine made. He did. And away we went, right? And we got the vaccine out. He was doing a marvelous job. But nobody for sure, because we couldn't wait that long to find out what the side effects might be.
Well, I can tell you this. I believe that if Trump was president, at this point, you would have your choice in here what problems they are having with it and what problems they're not having with it. But the administration we got now, everything is quiet. There's no transparency in anything.
Well, you know, if Trump were here right now and distributing the shot, there would be a lot of people that wouldn't get the shot just because Trump is in charge of it.
And Biden was one of them.
We're on the same path here, just different sides of the path.
You're right.
There's going to be people that don't want to take it because Biden is distributing it, even though Trump is the one that put it together. But if you flip-flop that and Trump was out, how many people during when Trump was in office said, if there's a vaccine, I'm not taking it?
You're right.
Yeah, Joe Biden himself. Is that remember? Joe
didn't,
Biden
didn't even know. Didn't care what it was.
Does that show you how stupid the American public is, or not?
Yeah,
but listen. I'm of age. I'm overweight. I could get this flu, whatever it is, and I could die. And you know what? I can't do it over again. And say, you know what? Hang on. Back up a couple of days. Let me go and get that vaccine.
You know what people got to realize, Ed? We're all going to die.
We try to make it longer than usual. We try to live a little longer than usual.
I understand what you're saying, but there's going to be something that's going to kill off the population, no matter what we try and do.
Well, you could step in front of a bus tomorrow.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Something's going to kill off the population, and people got to realize that. We're all going to die. We don't know when the time is, but it's going to happen.
I just like not to die in waves because of some sort of a virus that sweeps across the world.
I understand that, too, but how many times has it happened on this?
It has happened.
Okay, and there's a reason. There's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the reason, but it's happened.
Well, on that bright note, I'm going to have to stop by one of these days again and see you. But I'm hoping that things are going to get a little bit better. Hey, let me ask you this, Andrew. Do you think that we will get past at least these high numbers of people that are getting infected? I mean, are we going to continue to have
very... Well, you know, Mark, I'm not worried about the people that are getting infected. I want to know how many are dying specifically from this. You don't hear that no more.
Yeah.
All you're hearing is how many. I don't care how many people get it. There could be a million people that got the common cold. And
dying specifically from the shot.
Die from it.
Dying from the shot, you're asking.
Oh, well, who knows? We don't know, Paul. We'll find that.
Or dying from the virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we may never know. Yeah. Like I say, they don't talk the death. All they talk about, infected. Who cares if a million people get infected if nobody's dying? You're going to get a cold.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what they did in Chicago, the teachers' union. Shut down the school. They're going to have a bunch of morons. And
I think that'll be reversed real quickly. The pressure from the Biden administration on the Chicago union.
Listen, the whole Chicago thing is the teachers are a bunch of lazy asses and don't want to go back to work.
You watch, though.
They're making demands.
They're going to turn this around real quickly.
But they're making demands that they want the certain type of mask if they go back to school, which they can't get. So they're making their demands
unrealistic.
Unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
You know what they should do, don't you? They should do a Ronald Reagan and fire every one of them and bring up the next line.
Well, if they were federal union workers, that could be accomplished, possibly.
Let me ask you a question. The schools get financed by the federal government?
They get money from them.
$7 billion a year.
Yeah, no, there is money. Yeah, I agree with that.
So the federal government should be able to tell them, get your rear ends back to work or you're all fired.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to turn around quickly there. Even the mayor and the president, I mean, everybody is, and the parents are going to insist. You watch. I think this will change quickly. They're going to bring them back real quickly.
No, actually, I wouldn't bring those ones back. I'd bring up a whole new line.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Your chance. See you later.
You
are, and your attitude is. Goodbye.
I'd pull my kid out of that public school so quickly and get him into a private school, you know, get a voucher for him. This is the thing that's going to enhance school choice. Yeah, these people are just going to move the meter even quicker towards school choice by doing this. So
that's right.
All right. Thank you so much, my friend. We will talk again on Monday.
Just remember one thing.
Yes, sir.
Biden.
If Nancy Pelosi kept saying that, you know what would happen? Her teeth would fall out right on the dais.
There you go.
All right.
You guys have a good weekend.
Same to you, my friend. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Could you imagine Biden? I'm thinking of these, you know, those stupid things that used to have those snapping teeth. That's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, hey, we'll talk a little bit about sports with Big Ed. And then the top 10 careers with the highest suicide rates.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and I want to make sure you remember that we are on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and we are so delighted you listen. However, you can listen to us at any time thanks to Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. You can go there and listen three, four, five times in a row to the same show. Boy, could you learn stuff that way. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, I just saw some very sad news cross the wire. Sidney Poitier has died. The Oscar-winning actor.
Boy, they're going in bunches, aren't they?
They are. You are right about that. We've had a bunch of them die. He was 94 years old. 94 years old. He won the Oscar in 1963 for Lilies of the Field.
He did some great movies.
He did some wonderfully great movies. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, right?
Yeah, I never saw those, but...
Oh, yeah. And some of the later ones that he did. Many films. A Raisin in the Sun, wasn't he in that one? There was a bunch of them. He did a great movie with Tony Curtis. I'm trying to remember the name of it. They were chained together in a chain gang, and they escaped together. And...
Yeah,
Tony Curtis played kind of a racist in the in the movie that comes to accept and even affectionately like Sidney Poitier. It was a very good movie. Anyway, he's dead at the age of 94. Veteran producer Tara Healey has resigned from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, claiming that the network abandoned integrity in journalism to embrace a radical political agenda. And she warns Americans that the same thing is happening here. Now, they can't talk like this when they're working for the companies, but once they get away from them, it's interesting to hear what they have to say. She said about what was going on, "My focus was Canadian media, but I read quite a lot of American media. I think it's very polarized. I think on both sides of the spectrum, the working class needs more voice and more representation, and it troubles me. We're not talking to enough people, and the views are very limited. They are very narrative-driven, and it's not healthy for democracy." She says, "I've got no problem with the woke worldview being in the room. I think we should reflect that view, but it can't be the only voice in the room." So she warns Americans, beware of that being the only voice in the room. All right, Ed. Before we get into our top 10, is this the last regular season game for NFL teams coming up this weekend?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be into the playoffs. Can the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the highest seed in the National? They cannot, no matter what.
No, Green Bay's got that locked up. The best they can do is number two. I was just talking to Randy before the show, and the NFL has put all the games that have playoff meaning at the same time Sunday.
Why?
So
you can't see the game you want.
Well, this way you if you know you're out of something, you don't start resting players and watering down the game. The NFL doesn't want that.
Okay. So
in other words, if we kick off at four, we already know.
So they've decided at 1 o'clock or whatever.
4 o'clock. All the games that mean something are going to be at 4 o'clock.
Really?
Yes.
And all the 1 o'clock games don't count for anything.
Basically, no.
Oh,
well, you got to remember there's two Saturday games, too.
Okay. So they're doing this, you say, so that nobody's looking at the scoreboard.
Right.
Oh, hey, we just clinched. The other team lost.
Right. See, a big one for the Buccaneers would be the Rams are going to be playing the 49ers. Now, if the Rams win, the Rams get the number two seed. If the 49ers win, the Bucs will get the number two seed. The 49ers will get into the playoffs. If the Rams win, they get the number two seed. The Bucks get stay at number three. And the Saints.
I'm writing this down. Slow down.
And the Saints make it into the playoffs.
Whatever you just said, I agree with. All right? Well, it'll be very interesting. I think that's crazy, but that's the way it goes. Okay, Ed. That would be enough to drive someone to the brink of suicide. Ah, what
it's
a great...
It's like a roadmap.
What
you know?
A great segue.
Like a roadmap.
We're going to do the top 10 careers. We'll find out about this, too. Maybe sports
I told
executives.
I told you who I think my number one is.
Okay, well, let's find out if you're right. Top 10 careers with high suicide rates. This is coming from choicespsychotherapy.net, all right? So here we go. Number 10. Pharmacists.
Really?
Yeah. Would you think that pharmacists would have a suicide rate that is high?
Maybe it's easy for them to get what they need
it's
to do.
It's because
it.
You got to type all those small words on the label. That's why. Drives you nuts.
No, I'm thinking they have access to drugs.
That's true, too. You think so? So in other words, it's a temptation to get into the drug habit.
Well, not only that, but if they wanted to end it, they wouldn't have to go far to do it.
That's another good point. I think that's very observant of you. I mean it.
Well, I mean, if you're...
It's right there.
Your life really stinks and you're a pharmacist, and there's a bunch of pills in
front of you. You're having
a
bad day, and there's the Nebutol. Hey, why not? All right, number 9. Farmers. Wow. I used to think farmers had a kind of a balanced mental attitude towards life.
I always think farmers just kind of a lonely life.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's why they got farmers.com.
Hanging around. But, you know, animals can be good or bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe too many animals is not too good.
Maybe you can find that one sheep, you know.
Ed, please. You would have to do that. Number 8. Lawyers. Lawyers.
Are we talking suicide or pushed in front of a bus?
Isn't that kind of good news? All right. Number 7. Electricians. I would never have thought.
Suicide?
Yes.
Wow.
Electricians. Not accidentally get electrocuted. Yeah. Suicide.
Hmm.
I wonder why. Number 6. Real estate agents.
Probably in 2008, there was probably quite a few of them.
Because of the market conditions.
Yeah.
And
right now, they're all loving life.
It's a tough job, though. Think about it. You would live on a commission. You don't get a regular salary.
But
I can see where that would be.
These days, that commission's pretty big. So you better manage your money, you know?
Yeah, but what if you're
Save
not...
it for a bad day.
What if you're not being able to attract the people to let you list their... I mean, I can see where that could be a suicidal job. Right. Okay, number 5. Financial services. You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's competition. You want to get somebody to let you handle their money.
And the stock market could probably weigh into that, too.
And the stock market could weigh into it, correct. Number 4. And I was just there with my cat. Veterinarians.
Mm.
Veterinarians.
Jeez.
The animal lovers. You know, veterinarians are animal lovers.
Tired of getting bit?
I wonder. Veterinarians. Maybe it's a lonely job.
Maybe.
Number 3. Police officers.
Well, that was mine.
That was yours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And no surprise.
Yeah.
And more so than ever.
We got to move.
Number 2. Dentists. Yep. Looking into the mouth is dull. Number 1.
I'm going to say doctors.
Medical doctors. Bingo. You did it. All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 1